We've been celebrating the last week and a half or so because the Ireland ladies hockey team, they lined out to qualify for the Olympics, but they lined out to the rugby national anthem, which is Ireland's Call. Now, Phil Coulter is embarking on 54 years of music, a brand new tour. It's ongoing already. He'll be coming to the Opera House in Cork on the 16th of November. And to talk to me about that and also his new biography, Bruise Never Broken, Phil joins me on the line now. Phil, good afternoon.
How are you, Darrell? Nice to chat to you.
Great to chat to you, Phil. And we were just chatting off air. You've great memories of coming down to Yall.
I do indeed. Years ago when we used to play the Opera House in the summer months, we used to do like a week at a time down there. So I have very fond recollections of having days out with the, I remember one particular day, the entire orchestra minus about four of the string players went shark fishing off of Yall in two or three boats, and it was a glorious sunny day. How I know it was a glorious sunny day, when we went back on stage that night in the Opera House and I looked across at the string section, you could see the four pale faces amongst of the four who didn't travel on the shark fishing. But we had a lot of good times in Yall and made some great friends down there.
Yes, of course, indeed. And look, you're coming back to Cork, as I said, on the 16th of November. We'll get to that in a moment, Phil, but I was watching the Late Late Show last night. I saw you in the audience. And look, the entire country is mourning the passing of Gay Byrne. And I also recall back in 1985, I think it was, the Late Late Show did a very special programme for the people of Derry and people like Bishop Edward Daly and John Hume. You yourself, you were there as well. So talk to me about Gay. What are your memories, Phil?
I think I did the Late Late Show for the first time in 1967 when I had just won the Eurovision with Puppet on a String. That's as far back as I can and remember being on the Late Late Show. And I would have been on quite regularly, you know, every couple of years, practically ever since, Dara. Gay, this is what you could say about Gay. Gay was the master. There was no doubt about who was in control in the Late Late Show. He orchestrated the whole thing from beginning to end. He was also the producer, of course, Dara. So it was he who made the choice as to who the guests were, who the musical guests would be, what the songs would be that would be played, etc., etc. He was right across the whole thing. It was, although it wasn't ostensibly his creation. He took it over in its early stages. He was the first one to put into bat, and he made it his own. He made it just as someone said last night at the tribute. I think it was Eamon Dunphy said he built it into an Irish institution, and that's absolutely true.
Yes, and you know, I was very touched last night. They were using different clips from the memory banks, but one in particular was the show that he presented just after the Omagh bombing. And I suppose, you know, it ties in a little bit with your biography, Phil, because Bruise Never Broken, that they're the words from the town I love so well. You come from a city that was torn apart during the Troubles. Everybody thought we had gone beyond that. Then Omagh happened. And you could see in the clip last night of Gay how angry he was. And I think he was articulating the feeling for the entire people of Ireland.
It was a mixture of frustration, absolutely, and anger, most certainly. But there's a nice story about young Claire Gallagher. A couple of months after that tragedy, I had a letter from a postman in Omagh, right? And the postman was saying he delivered mail to the Gallagher household. He knew the family, and he happened to know that Claire was a piano player, number one, and number two, a big fan of Phil Coulter. And he said, maybe to cheer her up, you would drop her a little note or a CD or something. So I, not only that, I wrote her a long letter and a bunch of CDs, and I made a point of meeting her the next time we were north of the border. That led to a number of events for Claire, which cheered her up no end in those dark hours. First of all, I got her to guest on one of my albums, doing a duet on Carrick Fergus. Then I got her to guest with me when I was playing in the Rose of Tralee, and I have a lovely picture, which I treasure to this day, of the two of us with the front page of the Examiner, as it happens, of the two of us playing at the Rose of Tralee. Then I was invited by President Clinton to visit the White House to entertain there on March the 17th. And I brought Claire along as well, so we have a bit of history there. And I was delighted to see her last night. And she made me promise to call in and visit her music school in Omagh next time I'm north of the border, which I certainly will do.
And, you know, seeing somebody like Claire last night and how far she has come, that, yes, her spirit might have been bruised, but never broken. And she has, you know, fought through everything from the past. And look at her now. As former President Mary McAleese said, she hasn't aged a day.
Very well put. Bruised but never broken. You could definitely use that term to describe Claire. Very well used indeed, Dara. Yeah, she's a credit. She just shows you she's an indomitable spirit. Her family also were much to be praised, because they never allowed themselves to wallow in self pity or blame. You know, they just got on with it. They were very grounded people. Her mum used to love when I would call up and say, listen, I've got another gig for Claire. And she would say, oh, these calls from you just give her a great lift, because they seem to come, but you have an uncanny knack of calling when she's in a bit of a downer, a bit of a depression. So I was delighted to be able to, you know, be part of her rehab. And she's a credit to all and sundry.
Absolutely, and hats off to her. And well done to you, Phil, for reaching out as well and helping her. Now, 54 years of music. I'm looking at somebody like Cliff Richard, who is about to go on his 80th, celebrating 80 years. What keeps you going, Phil? What is there something that keeps driving you on to get out there and do what, obviously, what you love doing?
What keeps me going is the thought of the alternative, Dara, which is doing nothing. And that would be anathema to me. I mean, I'm not one of those guys who could sit around reading the paper or watching TV or studying the horses. I've never done that. And even though I'm now 77 years of age, I'm not about to start now. So I really enjoy what I do. I mean, I enjoy being on the road. Why I evolved my one-man show was so that I could take it into the country and play those smaller theatres. And you know, I was just looking at my schedule before we chatted. I mean, I'm doing like, because of the one-man situation, because of this structure of this tour, I'm playing Bantry now in Cork on the 15th of November. I'm playing the Opera House on the 16th. I'm playing Ballymaloe on the 1st of December and Inchidonny on the 7th of December. So I'm doing four gigs in Cork over that Christmas period. And indeed, I see another one on New Year's Eve in Charleville. So there's five dates in Cork. So now, why do I do it? Because I enjoy it. And I enjoy meeting my fans. And I enjoy that interaction with them. In the last couple of weeks since the book was launched, I'm having great fun after the gigs. Normally, people come and chat to me and talk about CDs. Now they want to talk about the book and get books signed. So it's a whole new, you know, it's a new adventure for me, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, I suppose there's a sense now that you really feel you've made it now, not just for the CD, but now they want you to sign the book as well. I mean, that's fantastic. But the book itself, Phil, it's about your life, really, isn't it? In post-war Derry, and, you know, your connections, and you're working with the likes of the great Luke Kelly, Cliff Richard, Sandy Shaw, Elvis Presley. The list goes on. And I suppose it's lovely for people to actually sit down and actually read this and take it all in and appreciate the legend that you are.
Well, it's a term which I think, I mean, I'm very flattered that you should use that term as far as I'm concerned, but it's certainly, the book is not just about, you know, it's not just about winning the Eurovision Song Contest or having songs recorded by Elvis Presley. I mean, that's a part of it. That's been my professional life. But the book, a large chunk of the book is to do with just, you know, my background, where I came from, war-torn Derry, you know, those age of austerity, at a time when you know, Catholics were very much the second-class citizens. I mean, I grew up in a little terrace house in Derry with an air raid shelter outside the front door, just in the aftermath of the war. So I grew up in an era of kind of black and white. You know, I grew up surrounded by unemployment, and where the nationalist and Catholic community were very much ground down, as Brian Friel called us, hewers of wood and drawers of water. So there's a lot of that. You know, what did all that mean? All of that factored into making me whatever man I have become. So whatever determination I have, whatever energy I have to keep going, I'm sure it owes a lot to that background and those early struggles.
Yes, of course. Last night, Phil, I was listening to Elvis Presley's version of My Boy, and I got to be honest, the tears were flowing down my face, because listening to the words and taking them all in, it reminded me of my own father, who passed away before I turned the age of six.
Wow.
I mean, that song could have different meanings for different people, but for me it was almost like my dad singing to me that I will stay, but I know he couldn't stay, but he's still with me every day. But the songs that you've written, they resonate with people. I had an uncle who worked as a priest in America back in the 70s and 80s. He had all your CDs, Tranquility, Classical Tranquility, Seeing Tranquility, Peace and Tranquility, and he played those every day as he went along. It kept him in touch with his homeland. So you have touched so many people, maybe at times you don't even realise.
Well, yeah, you can't keep tabs on that kind of thing, Darry. You're absolutely right. I would have a fair idea that my music has travelled far and wide. I do. I am aware of the fact, because I keep bumping into people who say that for years, when a new Phil Coulter album came out around Christmas, they would buy it to send to their uncle who was a priest in America, or their aunt who was a nun in Africa. And a lot of my music found its way into those far-flung places, to Irish missionaries who treasured it. You're quite right. It was their connection with home. And that's a privileged position for me to be in, you know, that people associate Phil Coulter and Phil Coulter recordings with good things in their life, you know, with warm feelings about their home place. That's something I would never take for granted.
Absolutely. Now, just to remind listeners again, you're in the Opera House in Cork on Saturday the 16th of November, but there's a very special performance taking place on Saturday the 4th of January in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and you'll be joined by your good friend, who is now an octogenarian, he's in his 80s, John Sheehan, who was there with the band last night from the Dubliners. I mean, that's going to be just a cracking gathering.
Yeah, well, John is also with me in the Cork Opera House, and I chose John very particularly to have as a special guest because, you know, the concept of the show is Phil Coulter and friends. John Sheehan and I, you're quite right, Darry, we go back a long, long way. And I'm really looking forward. Let me just paint a picture of John Sheehan on stage with me in the Opera House. And I announce Scorn Not His Simplicity. And then I announce the man who played fiddle on that original version with Luke Kelly to play the same fiddle on Scorn Not His Simplicity, this time behind me singing, to play the same lines as he did then. That's a bit of history for me. You know, that's a bit of history. We soldiered together for many, many years through those Dubliners times. And it's a privilege for me to share the stage with John after all these years. And for those people who have a soft spot for the Dubliners and indeed for that era, that will be just a little bit of magic for them to recapture.
Absolutely. And look, we'll never forget that beautiful version of Scorn Not His Simplicity with Luke Kelly. I suppose if I were to describe what people will see on stage with John Sheehan and yourself, Phil, I would call it classical humility, because to me that is what I take from both of you. John is a very humble man. He's filled with humility, as you are as well. So anybody that goes to the Opera House, I'm going to call it classical humility.
That's a nice tag, Dara. I appreciate that. It's kind of you to say so. But, you know, John and I have this much in common. We're not divas. You know, we're not pop stars. We don't believe that because, you know, we have come a long way in the music business that we're entitled to live our lives by a different rule book from everybody else. You know, this is our job. This is what we do for a living. We thank God for the fact that we can make a living from our talent. And that's it. And we're delighted to get the privilege to take our music far and wide and to play in places like Cork. I have a soft spot for Cork. So whether it be Bantry on the Friday or Ballymaloe on the 1st of December or Inchidani on the 7th, whatever, you know, to be back there amongst those people, let them hear the music and just get that feedback. That's what keeps me going.
Absolutely. Well, look, Phil, I could talk to you forever. I will catch up with you in Ballymaloe for certain. I'm going to bring my mum along to that as well. But all the dates are available on philcoulter.com and tickets are flying out the door. I know that for sure. So get in, lads, get in. The Opera House is going to be really, really special with John Sheehan. But Phil, listen, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for sharing your memories of Gay Byrne as well. Continued success and continued good health to you.
Thank you, Dara, and thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, Phil. Take care.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.